and it's time to dive back into some Murder Gymnastics. Welcome aboard. My name is Carl, also known as Mr. Meanie. This is the Murder Gymnastics, a wrestling podcast, and we're back to talk wrestling, and I'm here with my buddy Paul in Alberta. How's it going, man?
It's good. Good. I mean, we made it through the freaking deep freeze of, I'm not even kidding, minus 50 degrees Celsius weather.
Yay, climate change. Yay.
Yay.
That's why I've got my cup of tea here to keep me warm.
I'm warming myself from the inside out with this bourbon, so...
Oh man, oh, that's, it hasn't even been that long since we spoke. This is, we're getting on a good schedule here. I like this. Yeah. I like this
schedule, right? that's how you say that.
I just jinxed it too, didn't I? Yeah, that's it. No episodes for 3 months, that's it.
Yep.
Easiest place for us to start is holy shit, that Netflix news is the biggest news in wrestling right now, I think, personally, as of the last couple of days. That changes everything, not just for other people, but for me personally. So I'm quite excited about it. I wanted to talk to you about it because I want to get your perspective on it too. But yeah, this is a huge thing for WWE to move its entire catalog to Netflix, something that almost all of us have either all the time or on a rotational basis. It's like finally... I think finally something that sort of centralizes it and makes it hopefully, I'm just jinxing this as well, easy for all of us to access, won't be super expensive, and we can just watch the fuck out of all the content whenever we want. That's the goal right there. So
imagine that, having access to the things that you actually want to watch and not have to have 72 streaming services,
right?
Like, years ago, I think the gaming industry kind of figured it out where they cut down on piracy, where they kind of realized, hey, if we just make this stuff available to people, they'll willingly pay for the stuff rather than go and steal it.
Oh, what a world, eh? What a weird world. I know.
Like
almost like trusting your consumer, right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I know.
So I'm really pumped about it. Like, obviously, out of the two of us, you're the mainstay WWE watcher, but I mean, I've got like physical media of old WWE documentaries about wrestlers. I like that stuff, apparently, is going to be available on there, which I'm stoked about. How much, who knows, but I think even just having it at my fingertips means I'll be more curious to check it out, because you talk about it, which gets me curious about it, but then it's like, well, but I don't have the network, and sure, there's other means of watching it, but you know, it's a hassle, or you could always come up with the excuse, right? But if you turn on your PlayStation or whatever streaming device that you watch your content on, and it's just there, well, hey, you might just click and watch.
And if it's done like the network is done and the way Peacock is done, then you could just go in, it's you got 25 minutes until your wife is home and you're like, I got nothing to do. Man, I've always wanted to rewatch that one match from that one pay-per-view. You can literally just go boom, boom, boom. And it's not currently going to the internet trying to struggle and find a stream that works or whatever, right? Even I, like, I have the network, but I don't have the network, because in Canada, to have the WWE network, you have to have a TV cable subscription. So, like, they force one hand to do one thing, and then you got to pay over here. You got to pay. Like, nothing has been easy with this forever. The Americans, I think it's all on Peacock. So at least that was a centralized thing for them. So for them, it's going to be, I hope, an easy transition, because I'm pretty sure Netflix is going to be taking all of this by 2025, 2026, whatever. But for the rest of us, it's as of January next year. Boom. Network is dead. I read that today online. So that's the end of it. And it'll all be on Netflix. And hopefully it's not suddenly $45 a month, but I have no idea what they're going to do with that. But it is Netflix. I don't trust them in that way. We'll see what happens. The price has continually gone up. They made it so hard with the sharing, like we shared with my dad for a long time, until they made that impossible. So I'm hoping this is a good deal for all of us. Currently sounds pretty good, but I guess it is 12 months away. So there's lots of time for it to blow up in all our faces.
Hey, and that might be reason enough to keep Netflix. So yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. And it would be awesome if other wrestling promotions were able to strike similar deals. Like, I know at least in Canada, AEW is through TSN, which, I mean, that kind of leads into the whole WWE thing, where you have to have a subscription to TSN, which, I mean, you're not getting away from subscriptions per se, but, you know, I just wonder about how this affects the other the other promotions and their negotiations, and maybe they can get a little bit more money when their rights are up. So,
Clearly, if a company like WWE is getting off of like network television, they know that that's not where the money's being made. That's not the reliable partner to be with anymore. I'm betting that the AEW Tony Khan will hear this kind of deal and think, who are we going to go with? Like I personally, that's what they should do. They should be like, okay, Amazon made a bid for this. They didn't get WWE. Maybe we want to partner up with Amazon, and they have all of our products. Because you got to stop making it. This show's on this network. This one's on this network. Get the pay-per-view through this app. Like, just fucking stop doing that. I'm so sick of that. I'm so tired of it. Just
well,
take our money and make it easy.
and that's it. People reach their reasonable limit where they're willing to pay for, depending on the household, X amount of apps to watch stuff. And I'll happily pay for what I intend to watch,
Oh,
but
for sure.
there's a reasonable limit where I'm not getting 12. Unfortunately, wrestling suffers because it's on something that's the only thing you would be watching. So it doesn't get a subscription. Or you get something like NWA that signs a deal with CW and
Oh,
then
Christ.
you can't even watch
Oh,
it in
my
Canada.
God.
So,
So
I mean, there's also that.
we'll put a cork in that for just a minute because I don't want to lose track of this Netflix thing, but oh, do I
No.
have things to say about that CW deal with NWA? But just to wrap up the and Netflix thing, I'm so curious to see how the live TV thing will be handled. I don't think they've done live TV as far as I know. All the other apps like Prime has live channels you can watch. I've seen them on Crave. Apple TV has baseball and MLS on there, so they have live. I don't. Has Netflix ever done live broadcasts? I
I
don't know.
think the last time I was in there to watch something, I noticed that they have like NASCAR Live. So
Okay.
they are doing some live events.
Yeah, because that's the thing they need to prepare for is like with streaming, you never know when people are going to be watching. But if Raw's on at 8 o'clock Eastern time and 10 million people are tuning in to watch it, they're all coming into your server at that exact moment. And we've all watched a World Cup or an Olympic event on your phone, and you're like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, why is
Yeah.
it buffering? And you say, oh, it's because 100 million people are trying to watch this right now,
You're
right?
basically on dial-up at that point.
Exactly. And if it's Netflix and if everyone's got it, it's not just 10 million US subscribers anymore. If everyone can watch it at the same time, yeah, it's going to
Yeah.
be. I know that they're preparing for this, but it's going to be very curious to see if they can handle that type of bandwidth because it is kind of bonkers what they're looking at. When you do divide it up amongst TV channels and stuff, everyone's sort of sharing the load on how much they're taking on. But if it's just one company, we'll definitely see how good Netflix service actually is. This will be a
Yeah.
real test on them. So, but that
Well,
they wouldn't have invested the billions if they weren't ready to dive in. So.
and I mean, like anything, there might be bumps at first, but hopefully they get ironed out soon.
I'm very excited about it. If it can be like WrestleMania comes and I'm gonna watch it and my wife's gonna watch it and you're gonna watch it at the same time, we could have watch parties online maybe. Like there's those type of possibilities that would be really fun. So I really hope this all works out the way I'm currently mapping it out in my brain.
Yeah, me too. I'm legitimately excited at being able to have WWE content at my fingertips. It's the first, I will say, as somebody that's kind of living vicariously through you as a WWE watcher, it has me legitimately interested and excited to potentially watch again. And that has to be part of why they're doing this
For
too, is
sure.
it's getting it in front of people that are either on the fence or I've heard about it, and hey, they might check it out and then they'll become weekly watchers.
I can attest for having all of the WrestleManias just right there is a very fun thing. Sometimes I just go in and I go, oh my God, they're just all there. I can just watch any main event or any opening match or any part of any of it. Just click, 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 done. It's so that it is really cool. The first time you go in, it's kind of overwhelming because you're just like, oh my God, it's everything. Like for the last 40 years, every match that I ever thought of is here. It's kind of nuts, but yeah, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all goes down and hopefully it's not a big clusterfuck. So
Or that cluster gets unfucked real fast.
and speaking of clusterfucks, let's go talk
Yeah.
about the NWA. So in my notes for this week's episode, it's the first time in since we started doing this that I have a big blank spot right there. There's nothing in my notes for NWA because I watched nothing. because I'm not one of these people that if there was three episodes left before the end of a season and they announced that that show is now canceled, I'm probably not going to watch those last three episodes. No, I don't. You ruined it for me. You ruined the show for me. Until they can tell me that I can watch NWA because I'm not in America, I'm not gonna put a lot of thought into it now. They've ruined it for me. I'm so pissed off at Billy Corgan right now for doing this. It's like, at least I don't even know if it was on CW, the TV network, we still couldn't watch. So basically, this TV deal screws anyone but from the United States. It sucks. I hate it. It really
Well,
bugs
and
me.
it makes you wonder, did they realize that? Like, is this something that they considered? Because you
I'm
got to think
guessing.
that.
I'm guessing they looked at their numbers from pay-per-views and all that stuff and YouTube, and they're getting most of their viewership from the States. So I'm sure it is an actual like logistical decision, financial decision they made, but it's these type of things. I hate that because it basically it acknowledges that this whole part of the fan base, which is everywhere outside of America, they don't really
Doesn't
care about it.
matter.
Doesn't
Yeah.
matter at all. So.
Well, and it's like anything. If they do not care about me as a consumer, why do I care about them?
Yeah, it's so
And
disappointing.
it is too bad because I did put in the work because I heard that this, well, I don't even know what to call it. It's not a pay-per-view, but this streaming live event, whatever they branded it, the CW event.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, paranoia. Oh, okay, let's watch, see what the buildup is, and then we'll be able to watch this. I was like, somehow, I'm sure. And nope. And I can tell you, I do have notes, and they are very abbreviated notes. Let's see. Tom Latimer has a good promo and is pissed off that he's not in the title picture. There's an odd matchup between Starr and Paige because they're both playing heels, so the crowd wasn't into it, so they didn't know who to cheer for. I'm like, yeah,
Oh, that's
okay.
always a bad idea.
Yeah, there was a good match between EC3 and Jax. My last note was I expected a lot more drama considering they were billing this as the season finale and it's the go home show for this big paranoia event. And so
Yeah.
I thought, oh, paranoia, they're going to plant the seeds of who do you trust? Who's on whose side? I don't know. There
There was no paranoia at all.
was none of that. The only paranoia is, can I watch this event ever? Am I ever going to be able to watch this event? So,
So the paranoia was the international fans, all of us going, are we losing the NWA? That was the paranoia. That's why they called it that.
A big old wet fart for NWA, unfortunately. And
So actually, I lied. I do have one NWA note. The problem is it comes under my NXT section because I was watching NXT today. Do you remember Maddie from M95? Yeah. So this Ren Sinclair walks out today on NXT, and I'm like, wait a minute. I know her. So hello, new NXT superstar, Ren Sinclair, former NWA tag team, women's tag team champion, Maddie from M95. So that's
Nice.
cool. She looked great. She did great, but I had no idea that that move was coming. I thought it was her first match, her debut. So that's my
Nice.
NWA update is someone left the company and it was on a show
Well,
I could actually watch. So yeah.
and speaking of shows that you can actually watch with NWA people, I skipped through some of tonight's OVW performance and
Ah, nice.
remembered that EC3 is actually one of their champions on there. I'm like, oh, and he comes out with the 10 pounds of gold and I think it's North American Heavyweight Championship is what he's got. I'm like, oh, if NWA goes south, there's always
There's
OVW to
all
watch.
there's that's what there's always OVW to watch. That's what Al Snow wants you to say. There's always OVW. We both watched that documentary. If people haven't watched it on Netflix, it's fantastic. The Wrestlers. It's the story of OVW. And I went in knowing who Al Snow was, and I'd heard of OVW just through other podcasts, but never watched a moment of it. And by the time it was done, I was instantly going to YouTube, pulling up some OVW. I'm on Instagram. I'm following everybody because suddenly I'm emotionally invested in, oh God, I hope these people do well, and I hope Al Snow does well, and I wish I had money and I could invest. That was my number. I'm like, man, if I won like $1 million, I would give Al Snow some cash just to help him along, you know? So.
No, it was awesome. It in part reminded me a little bit of when we talked about Monster Factory before, but like I knew Al Snow a little bit from his WWE days, but that was about it. But yeah, it was a great documentary series. And yeah, it's funny how, yeah, you have that touchstone. And now I'm like, oh, I got a couple minutes. Well, let's see what's on this OVW YouTube channel.
And because that was such a good documentary, Netflix does really good documentaries, and they've touched on wrestling a couple times now, and they've done it well. That does bode well for a relationship with WWE, and then because they guarantee they'll be doing yearly events, documentaries, movies, probably features to promote WrestleMania, that kind of stuff. So they do have the money, and they have the creativity and the producers and the directors and the writers. So also, when I was watching NXT today, William Regal walked out, and I was like,
Oh,
so
wow.
I didn't even know he'd left AEW already. So that made me super happy. I don't think he's joining. I don't think he's back. But it was just nice to see him on air again, because when he left, it seemed very sad when he was leaving. I could tell he didn't want to leave. I think it was kind of like a pandemic sort of cut situation that happened for him, and then he was able to find a temporary home with AEW. But it was nice to see his face on WWE TV. That's his passion. That's his true love. So it was cool to see him. He was passing the reins of being NXT general manager to one of their superstars, ironically The Rock's daughter. She goes under the name Ava, who seems a bit of a what can I be really nice, bit of a work in progress. Is Ava. So right now it feels a little like the boss's daughter is the has the job in the mailroom. So she's got a lot of work to do before I accept that she didn't just get this job because she's The Rock's daughter. But I'm willing to give her a chance. We'll see what
She's a
happens.
project.
She's a project. So yeah, NXT was great this week, actually. That's a show that I haven't been watching regularly, and when I tune in, like, it flies by. And almost every match, I'm always like, well, that was a banger. Like it's and there's like they overdose on story on that show, because it's like they're all developing, so they're trying to see what they can do with stories. So like it is like a soap opera when you watch NXT. Like the amount of story that's go every single match is a story that's been going for months, and there's backstage drama and people in there. Like there was a mob like hit at a restaurant, like.
Jeez.
Yeah, like it was like, wow, like they really go all in on the theatrics, because they're chucking everything at the wall to see what'll stick and to see how these people handle this kind of stuff, right? So it is kind of hilarious to watch it all. It's very vaudeville, very circus, very just like, and then sometimes it's brutal and crazy. Like it's all of wrestling in 1 2-hour. I enjoy NXT. It might drive some people crazy, but I think it's a blast. So it's
Well,
unlike
I
any show
mean,
I watch.
to be honest with you, it's nice to hear you talking about NXT again, because there was a long period of time where you'd always be telling me about it, and as you're really getting me interested in watching it. And then it just, I feel like there was that change in tone, which you didn't mind, but then it just, things kind of fell off, and then they changed back or something. I can't really remember, but
To
yeah,
be
I know you
fair,
used to love it, and then
yeah.
it just kind of went away.
Now, to be fair, I'm a very positive guy, so I was being very kind when they did the changeover. The brand change sucked. I'll be honest, now that we're back to it being good again, when they was the black and gold. It was an incredible wrestling show. It really was. And Adam Cole was there with the Undisputed Era, and it was the best. It was like that storyline was like as good as the Bloodline storyline. Like I was so invested in that story every week. It was the best wrestling I watched all week. And all of a sudden it was color splashed, and it was 2.0, and it was bright lights, and Vince just ruined NXT. Like it became almost unwatchable. I couldn't, and the wrestlers were still giving it their all. I was still hoping, like I was watching them, and they're selling their asses off, but it was bad. It was real bad. And so now it's like a hybrid kind of, it's not completely back to where it was, but because it's not like before, it was like underground. It looked like a basement wrestling show with like, there was like chain link fences surrounding the ring, and like it really looked like a heavy metal rock concert. It was really cool. So it's a little brighter now, a little more, I don't know, professional is the right word, but a little more put together. But the wrestling is back to being amazing, and it's not cheesy colors, and it's not cheesy music, and it's back to being like a real wrestling show. So you'll hear me talking about it every episode now, because I'm going to try to remember to at least catch like the main event. Do what I do with Collision. If I can't watch the whole show, try to catch like the main event or whatever the match of the week was, just so I can, have that something to talk about.
And I can't remember, when we were talking about this deal with Netflix earlier, is NXT coming over with Raw, or is that just an eventual
So
thing?
for international, everything. So as of January next year, for Americans, it's just Raw. because there's TV deals for everything else that have to expire and stuff. So they have to wait till their Peacock deal ends, and like USA Network for NXT, and there's they have so many deals down there. But for us, it's every product of WWE, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, every pay-per-view, every past show, every
Wow.
documentary, yeah, everything.
Okay. Well, then
So.
I was under the wrong impression. I thought it was just Raw, maybe NXT, and then eventually other stuff would be coming. So that's even better news. Now I'm even
Yeah.
more excited.
So that was the American news that you were hearing, but they were kind of saying it. They were saying that that's how it was for everyone, but that's just how it was for the United States.
Yeah,
But the
which
rest of the
makes
world,
sense.
yeah, the rest of the world, it's everything.
Yay.
It's very exciting. It's
Now
very
I'm more
exciting.
excited. I was already excited, but now I'm even more.
So something because of this NWA situation, I'm like, I have a hole in my wrestling week. I'm like, I have a free hour plus that I can squeeze something new in. So of course, with Impact Wrestling becoming TNA again, I decided, it's time to give these guys a try because I used to like Impact back a few years ago, and I'd always heard about TNA with their crazy like six-sided ring and shit. So they're not doing
Yeah.
that, thankfully. But like that was different and original, but I didn't want them to go back to that. But so they
Seemed a bit
didn't.
gimmicky.
Yeah. But now they're back. I watched that pay-per-view, the Hard to Kill. It was
Yep.
great. I actually really thought it was enjoyable. It had a very raw indie kind of feel to it, but with some great wrestling in there. So I really enjoyed it. It was an excellent show. It definitely felt like a reset button being pressed. So there was lots of title changes, lots of old champions going out, new champions coming in, lots of like trying to stir up the excitement. I definitely felt like they wanted you to see all the title belts being placed onto new people. I think there was only one title that didn't change hands the whole night. So it was a big deal. Like both
Yep.
main women and men's titles changed hands. The women's tag belts changed hands. I think the men's tag belts, that was the only title defense that was
Yeah, it didn't
successful.
because it was like a
So.
four-way match, and yeah, the reigning champs ended up pulling it out. You're right.
But like I really enjoyed it. I was curious how the weekly show would go. I love that they're calling the weekly show Impact. That's a great. I think it used to be called Impact, and then they
Yep.
rebranded Impact, and so it's flip-flopping on the names. But TNA Impact, that just sounds like a good name for a show. And that was a good weekly show. I enjoyed it. I like the announcers. They're kind of raw and like a little like ECW kind of like it's. I'm not like again. I don't want to say unprofessional, but it sounds a little like you're not being hounded by like an overlord billionaire. They're up there just having a great time
Yep.
and lots of yelling and but the very well spoken and yeah. I thought that arena is really cool with like the balconies and everything looked really good for the pay-per-view. I didn't realize that would be the same venue for the show too. So I love because they're just in Vegas, right? I hadn't pieced that together. So I think that's really cool. Next time in Vegas, fucking going to see some TNA wrestling. So
Yeah, I checked it out too, when you mentioned that you were checking it out. And we're fortunate here in Canada that the app that I'm subscribed to watch NFL, they carry TNA, and so they've got the weekly
oh
show.
yeah.
And just I noticed just the other day that they've actually got the pay-per-view up that you can just watch now. And yeah, I checked it out, and I really appreciate watching different promotions and how they present it, because I like seeing different presentations, how they decide that they're gonna present their product to me, and that it isn't just a carbon copy of what AEW does or what WWE does.
Totally.
And
Yeah.
I like that the wrestlers, it's kind of a nod to the old ring, that they walk out of this almost like octagon
Yeah.
to the ring. And I like that the ring, it's not necessarily a ramp down and then you climb stairs into the ring. I like that it's just essentially a bridge over. So I think,
I love the entrance ramp, I'll call it. I love that because
yeah.
that the WCW had that. For a few years back in the day, and then they switched to more of the gradual incline and whatever. But I think it's cool having that come down level to the ring. I think it looks great from the other side to watch them walking towards it, being up like that. I love it. It's like they're on a stage. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly. It literally elevates the
It
presentation.
literally does, yeah.
They didn't carry it through to the weekly show, but what I really, really appreciated in the pay-per-view Hard to Kill, which is smart because if it's a reset, you're hoping you're getting new viewers. I liked that it had a big event feel, and that before each match, they had a tale of the tape for who was involved.
Oh
And
yeah.
They had not only who they were, what their special moves were, but they had little bullet points of like, why is this a rivalry? What happened to lead us here? And I thought that is a really, really clever way of just giving you the information that you need to know leading into this match. So I really, really appreciated that. I thought it was really good. And I can't think of a weak match on the card. I
No.
mean, like everything, you're going to have some better than others, but there was none that I was thinking like, oh, I can't believe that was on this card.
And I know I'm a little bigger fan of this than you are, but the entrance for our French Canadian Frankenstein just kills me. And I hope they keep doing it. I hope it's every single time he comes to the ring. I hope that gets more elaborate. I want those coils with lightning going between them as a resurrect PCO. So do you know who that is?
I don't. I mean, I'm impressed with his theatrics and holy shit, he can move and he's clearly not a young guy, but no, I have no idea who
Dude,
that is.
so that's the other Quebecer.
What?
Yeah, I was Googling it. I'm like, nah. I went to Wikipedia. I'm like, holy shit, he was in the Quebecers. He was WWF Tag Team Champion with the Quebecers. He's the other guy because we all remember I can't remember his name. Jacques? No, not the Rougeaus. I'm jumping to Rougeaus there. The main guy from the Quebecers. He was
Well, because
the
what
Mountie. The
could,
guy. He was the Mountie.
yeah, and he was one of the Rougeaux. That was Jacques Rougeau, but he was
Oh,
in both. He was in the
yeah. So
Quebecers.
he went to the Quebecers. The other guy is this guy, PCO.
Really?
Yeah.
You
Blew me
just
away.
blew my mind. That's amazing.
Yeah, blew me away. I'll send you the link after that has the photo of like, wow, that's fantastic. So yeah, his moonsault, love it. Makes me think of
Yeah.
Vader. Every time it makes me think of Vader. So yeah, it is cheesy as hell, but you know I love that shit. So it's fucking fantastic. I also loved the women's, so the new tag team champions, Havoc and what was the other girl's name? They both had like spooky names. But
Yeah,
they're
because their name is Decay,
yes.
is the tag team name.
Did you hear where they'd been? Because they'd been gone for a bit.
No.
They were in the depths of hell, like in the undead realm. Like I love pro wrestling so much that the wrestlers weren't around. They didn't say they were on the indies or they were taking some time off. No, they were in the undead realm and they'd just been resurrected and brought back. And then the other guy goes, "Oh, cool." And that's the end of the conversation. I'm like, that's the fucking best. That is the best.
I feel like it's them, and because I don't have the context or the history of this team, because this is literally the first time I laid eyes on them, I have a feeling that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that maybe there were two other wrestlers going under the name Decay. Like maybe these two performers were Decay and then they swapped out because they said something about them reverting back to these forms because these were their best forms. And I thought, that is such an interesting thing
Well, I'm pretty
to
sure
bring
that,
up.
well, I think they had a gimmick change.
Oh, maybe
So
that's
I
what it
think
is.
that's why
Yeah.
it's a reverting back to the previous
The
gimmick.
more
So
demonic. Yeah, that
yeah.
makes more sense because I thought that's ballsy. If you've got two wrestlers, you swap them out and then you bring the
Yeah.
other two back
Right?
and then just say, oh, they reverted to their original form. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
So
This isn't crushing demolition or anything.
No,
No,
not at
no.
all. Not at all. I love that there's lots of cheesy shticks and lots of supernatural stuff and just like it's pro wrestling. They're obviously having a really good time with it. I like
Yeah.
that weird president guy too that always comes out. Like
Yeah.
you could tell he's legit the president. He's not like a Tundy back in the day with WWF where this is an actor playing the no, this guy's really the president of this wrestling organization. He's a huge wrestling nerd, you can see it, and he's just happy and having a good time. He starts crying all the time because he's so excited. I love
Yeah.
that guy. I don't remember his name, but I love that
Yeah, I
guy.
can't remember his name either, but yeah, that guy is full of passion and that's what you want, right? Like you don't want somebody that could care less or it's a part-time gig or whatever. Like, no, this guy, you get the feeling he lives and breathes this shit.
And he's not the billionaire owner that's just trying to like buy his way into being in wrestling. He's a working stiff. He's got a job. He runs this wrestling company. Like he's not the owner. He's got stakes. He could get fired potentially if it all went bad. So you could see his passion is there, his commitment. I think it's great. He's not there to be a wrestler. He doesn't seem to get involved in the stories. He's just he comes out afterwards and goes, "I love you." Like, he's just so excited. It's great stuff. So, yeah, glad to see TNA back, and I will be watching every week now since I
Yeah,
have
and
a free hour. So.
yeah, lots of great performers to like and get on board with. And I watched it briefly when Nick Aldis went there earlier in the year because I was curious to see how that all worked out. And yeah, there was a good mix of people that I recognized from back then, but also a lot of fresh new faces too.
Yeah. Speaking of returns to gimmick, so one of my guys I really liked was his name was Pete Dunne. He wrestled in NXT and NXT UK. And when he got brought up, they changed Vince changed his name to Butch because I guess Pete Dunne is too complicated. I don't know why they did that. So he was Butch, and he was the same exact wrestler but with a new name. So he had to represent as this other person. So Triple H loves to put people back into their gimmicks that they should have. So on this week on Raw, a tag team match was supposed to be one guy with his tag team partner Butch fighting Pretty Deadly, those two guys I love so much from the UK. And but they come out and it's Pete Dunne. Like they just changed his name back to Pete Dunne with no announcement. His music came on, he walked out, the crowd started chanting Bruiserweight because that was his nickname when he was Pete Dunne. So the crowd was right away, "He's back, yeah." And then Pretty Deadly didn't know who he was. They're like, it was so, they're like, "Who's this guy? We're supposed to be wrestling Butch." I'm like, oh my God, they're actually doing that. They're actually, they had a post-match interview like, "This is crap. We had a deal to wrestle Butch. This other guy comes out that we don't even know." Like, fuck, it just killed me. So I love when they do shit like that. Just, yeah, gimmick changes are stupid. It's weird. It's complicated. It's goofy. Just do that. Just roll with, because that's literally as silly as it is. You just changed a person's name, but not their face. Just go with it. Just, he's a different person. It was awesome. Anyway, I loved it. It made me laugh. So,
That is awesome.
yeah. All right. So I did manage to squeeze in Collision today. I'm way behind on my AEW, but I thought I would just dive right back into the new episode, and then I'll just continue on from there. It was a good episode. I did notice a bit of a lull with, like, MJF being missing, certain key figures from the show not being around. It was a good wrestling show, but it lacked that, like, pop that it sometimes has. It felt very, yeah, it was a fine episode. Raw was kind of like that this week too. Kind of like, oh yeah, not a waste of time, but it wasn't spectacular. None of the matches were really like bangers for me, but I still enjoyed the show. It was a good program. Got to see our House of Black, and like, that was a pretty good match. I didn't love it, but I thought it was still a pretty good match. It had like the messy finish and everything that I knew was coming, unfortunately. So I could sense a bigger match coming from that match, and that happens in WWE too all the time, when you know that this match is just a introduction for the next thing.
Yeah, just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, but it was a good episode. I still enjoyed it. What do you
Did
think?
you happen to catch the FTR House of Black match from the week before?
I didn't. I'm assuming I should go back and see
Oh,
that.
that is the match to watch. That was a fucking banger. That was
Okay.
phenomenal. That was awesome. This one, you're right. Like, I enjoyed it, but I'm a mark for both teams.
Yeah.
And not so much the guy they have paired with FTR right now. Like, he's okay, but out of everybody there, he's the one with the
Yeah.
least presence for me. But yeah, they're totally building towards, well, and I can't believe this is what they're building towards on this upcoming episode, where they're building towards a six-man tag elimination in a
In a
cage.
cage. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So that should be a beauty. That's why they had that match, and that's a good way to build up anticipation for it. I thought that was pretty sweet, and I will go back and check out that match because seeing more FTR, always great. House of Black are so cool. Put them in the ring together. I love it. I love it.
Well,
Oh yeah, cool.
I was just gonna say, and I really appreciate everybody in House of Black has their own style, and there's no obvious weak link, where some of these factions are three people
Oh,
groups.
totally.
You can see, like, you got two really great people and one kind of beggar and hanger on, kind of like what we talk about with the Southern Six, right? Where
Right.
there's
Yeah,
two
yeah.
clear, really good guys and somebody that's just kind of, riding the coattails. I think, yeah, like, House of Black, each and every one of them has their own niche and they complement each other. Like, Buddy Matthews, he's kind of that middle guy where he's big, but he can still move. Like, he was
Oh,
pulling off
yeah.
some of these moves, like, you'll see when you go back and watch the match from last week.
Yeah.
He's a big guy that can move, and he's not just power moves like I talk about with some of these other guys that I just kind of get sick of. So
He's
yeah, it's a
freaking ripped, eh? Jesus.
yeah, I know.
Like
There's a couple guys
oof.
in AEW I look and I'm like, you're like a walking He-Man figure.
He very much has a He-Man figure. I've watched his he's in a relationship with Rhea Ripley. So the two of them working out together on Instagram is just Jesus. They're both just so jacked. It's like crazy. And it's crazy they're in different companies. Like usually couples like that are in the same company. So right now we have Charlotte and Andrade is the same thing. They're in separate companies. It's kind of weird. I'm sure that's probably these contracts that are just always someone is always looking into them so that one of them can go the other direction. They'd like to be wrestling together, but yeah. I enjoyed the concept of this. I hadn't seen it previously, the Adam Copeland open challenge thing they're
The
doing.
Cope open.
Yeah, so I do like that. I like Edge, so I enjoy that quite a bit. And I, having the young guy come down and put on a pretty good show. I can't remember his name right now, actually, but he put on a good show. That was a fun match. I enjoyed it, but what the highlight of the match was, as always, Nigel on color. So the crowd's chanting, Adam Copeland, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And just out of nowhere, he just goes, "Isn't that great? The fans all cheering. We love Christian. We love Christian." I'm just cracking up. I'm like, you perfect heel announcer line. That's not what they're saying, you bastard. And then they're this is awesome. He's like, they're doing it again. Christian's awesome. Fucking Nigel's the best. So yeah, I enjoyed Nigel, enjoyed Adam Copeland. I loved the Roderick Strong match at the end against Matt Sydal. But I'm a fan of Roddy's from when he was in NXT. It's got to shave that mustache off. I guess maybe it's good for a heel. I hate that mustache so much. I want to just reach up and just rip it off his face. But I guess it is good for getting heat. It's working. He's got heat for me.
I'm glad you mentioned Roderick Strong because I didn't have it in my notes, but he's somebody that I think he I'm not totally convinced it was a legitimate neck injury, and maybe it started out as that and then it just became kind of a storyline.
I don't think that was legitimate at all.
But I kind of got I like that he's teamed with the two guys that we saw in NWA OGK,
Oh yeah.
and I really was a fan of those too, but I hadn't really seen Roderick Strong wrestle too much other than squash matches, so it's hard to be a fan of somebody that you just see in squash
Totally.
matches all the time.
Oh yeah.
But that match was really good. I almost skipped the match because I thought, eh, I'm not really invested,
Yeah.
but whatever. I'll just watch it. I'll finish watching it. And I'm glad I did because it was really good.
Yeah, I actually almost skipped it too, just because I was getting near the end of the show and I was like, I kind of want to get to the main event, because I was looking forward to watching Eddie Kingston, of course,
Yes.
and Daniel and Br Danny Bryan, Brian Danielson. And
Just call him the clam digger.
exactly, the clam digger. Well, I won't skip any Roddy matches going forward, because he's found his groove. And yeah, I think I don't know where they're gonna go with the story with those three, but it'll be fun to watch. So
Yep, I agree.
that the main event was it wasn't a perfect match, because I found there was a little bit too much jawing at times. But once the actual wrestling was happening, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really the storytelling of just the struggle of the tag team was really well done. Just the struggle of getting the tags, and because that's very much AEW storytelling. It's very basic ground and pound wrestling storytelling, and they did a good job of that. I kind of figured the result would end the way it did. I figured that it would be Daniel Bryan, and I still call him Cesaro. The other guy, the big tall
Oh,
guy.
that I
Yeah,
complain about
yeah.
constantly, and
It's
now
not
I'm,
Cesaro. It's
and it's
because
not Andrade, it's
yeah. Anyway, that guy. I figured they would get the win, but it was a good match. And the Eddie Kingston, is that really his brother, or is that just a story that his brother? Like, is that a work or a shoot? Do you know? They're talking about family and like.
Oh, I think it's just his friend that
Okay.
he just calls the brother. It's just like he's very, down to earth. So it's like, you're my friend, you're my family kind of thing. So
You could
yeah,
tell
it's
it.
not his legit
You could
brother.
tell I was half listening to the promo. So I caught just enough of it to be like, are they related? I didn't know Eddie Kingston had a brother. It seemed weird to me too. So that makes a lot more sense. actually,
Yeah.
now that I think about it. So yeah, no, it was good. Do you got anything else from AEW? That was the only show that I watched. So
Claudio Castagnoli, blah,
Claudio.
blah, blah, blah.
Claudio, that's the
Claudio
guy.
Castagnoli,
Yeah.
because I butcher his name three
So
times.
this is why I
Him.
call him Cesaro, because that was so much easier.
Yeah.
WWE. He had one
Yeah.
name. Sometimes I hate the one name, but anyway.
Yeah. No, other than the FTR and the House of Black, the only other thing that I made note of is it kind of goes back to when we were making our predictions earlier in the year where I said, hey, I think I just have a feeling this is the year Tony Khan figures out the women's division. And it's the first glimmer of hope that maybe that is coming to fruition because Serena Deeb is coming back from injury. And I've only seen her in the one or two NWA matches where she took the title off of Thunder Rosa. And then you saw her lose it to Camille. And her wrestling style just really reminded me of Bret Hart, like just a very grounded and technical style. So I'm excited to see her back. We've seen Red Velvet in a couple NWA events. Well, she's now here.
Of course, Thunder
Bert.
Rosa's back,
Yeah, and
right?
that's one of the ones I was getting to
Yeah.
is you've got Virtuoso Perrazzo, and then yeah, Thunder Rosa after 17 months is being injured, she's
Crazy.
coming back. So, and I've mentioned on here a number of times, I'm a huge mark for her. So I think yeah, we're finally getting a
And
little bit
she looked
more
pretty
depth.
good. She
Yeah.
looked a little rusty, like just 'cause you could tell on some of like the if she had to leap or swing around. She hadn't done that in a while in front of live people. So she looked a little rusty, but personality wise, she was in, you could see she was fired up and feeling the excitement and stuff. I think the next match she'll look twice as good as she did in that one. So
Yeah, exactly. Just shaking off the rust. And like you said, hasn't done this in 17 months and getting that confidence back because it's like any athlete, right? Like
yeah.
you might be physically healed, but it's trusting in that injury that it is healed and that body part will do what you want it to and not betray you, essentially. So
Exactly.
yeah, I'm really looking forward to there being more competition and not just them focused on the same handful of performers. So it just gives me a lot of hope that, yeah, there is going to be a little bit more fleshed out and bumped out talent in the women's division there.
And my last thing on AEW is Toni Storm. In the ring, she's great, but it's all about the promos and the character and the black and white. That is just, I didn't like it at first. I think I told you this on the pod. When it first happened, I'm like, this is dumb. I hate it. Stop doing this. Now, like today when I was watching, I'm like, they had the image they show at the bottom, which is just the still photos for the match that coming up at some show, and hers being black and white. I was just like, I fucking love this gimmick now. Like, I love that whenever she's, I wish that the entire match, her side of the ring was in black and white. No, they can't do that. But that would be with AI someday. Her and she would just be black and white the whole match. It's a fucking great gimmick. Whoever came up with that,
Yeah,
it's bravo.
I love it. Well, and I
Bravo.
love that when she does come down the ramp to the ring, it is black and white.
Yeah.
And there will be glimpses of the match where it'll be kind of like the camera from her corner will suddenly just you'll get a flash of black and white. I'm like,
Love
yeah,
it.
this is perfect. They're carrying this gimmick perfectly.
Yeah, I love it too. WWE has a thing like that when Pretty Deadly come to the ring, they turn on these giant fans so that their hair is being blown, and then it's all in slow-mo. So they actually live, it must be on a delay. I guess they must be on like a 2 second delay or something because they come down to the ring in slow motion and their hair is blowing. It's and they have a giant disco ball like in the middle of like it's a real disco ball in the middle of the ring, so it's shining light and it's all in slow motion. Oh, it's just fucking hilarious. I love it. So
That's funny.
yeah.
I would say about the only other thing of note for AEW that I've got in my notes. Well, actually, two things. Number one, they're bringing the rankings back, which I've always heard about the rankings and everything. So I'm more of a curiosity to see how this all plays out, right? Like
I don't
I
care at
like that
all
it,
about rankings at
I
all.
like that they have their records.
Yeah.
Like I think that's cool. Like
I don't
that's
even
just
care about
something.
that. I don't know why
Yeah.
people want this. I don't get it. It's one of these things that's fine if people like it. I don't understand. For me in wrestling, records and rankings, that's not why I'm watching. I don't. I'm
Yeah,
watching for the story.
I think it's
So.
the people that they want to add. I don't know if it's legitimacy, but it's just that argument of like, well, they should be a number one contender because their record is, I don't
Yeah.
know. I I get a kick out of it. We'll see if I'm feeling the same way in a month. And then about the only other thing of note is the fact that you've got the formation of what they're calling the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, which
yes.
is the Bullet Club Gold and
And the elite. No,
no, no, not the Elite, the Acclaimed.
the acclaimed.
I'm like, well, I don't know that this is going to get me to care about, because I find both factions have one person that I'm legitimately interested in,
In the
like
entire ring, there was, yeah, exactly.
Billy Gunn and Jay White. I'm like, all right, out of six, I care about two. Well, we'll see where this goes.
And I'm kind of done with Billy Gunn. So literally that ring had one person in it that I liked. And I was like, oh, geez, guys. Like I was really hoping they were going to just clock them with their belts or something. And instead
I
they
thought they
shook
were
hands.
gonna.
I was like, oh no, they're shaking hands. This is not what I want. So I love Jay White, but I don't know that I like Bullet Club that much. I find them actually quite obnoxious and annoying. And I know they're
Oh,
supposed
yeah.
to be, but it works because I get really annoyed by them. And Jay White by proxy, like he acts annoying when he's with them. I find when he's on his own, he's not nearly as annoying as when he's with those two guys. So,
Yeah. Well,
but whatever.
I find
Whatever.
Juice Robinson is a better fit with Jay White
Yes.
than the other two,
Me
because
too. Me too.
he brings something, whereas the other two, just aside from being annoying, they just kind of fade into the background. Like there's nothing really interesting about them. Whereas Juice Robinson, like he brings a presence. He brings something to the table. Whereas the other two, I don't know, they're Billy Gunn's kids. That's about all I know about them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Don't
Yeah.
know that I love that faction, but what can you do about it? What
Nope.
can you do about it?
Nope.
The only other thing in wrestling right now that's got me excited is, of course, Royal Rumble is only, 3 days away, and Margot, my wife, that's her favorite pay-per-view. It's my second favorite. I'm a Mania guy, but the Royal Rumble is such a good time because it's just it's like we talk about it like it's Christmas, right? So WrestleMania is my birthday. It's the thing that you plan for all year. You love your birthday, but Christmas is stocking. What's in my stocking? I don't know. It's like who's coming out for the Royal Rumble? No idea. And that's the whole fun of it. And I don't look into it too much. I try not to like, because once my brain starts going, I start thinking, oh, I wonder who's going to show up. And you can totally, just like spoilers for a movie, you can totally wreck the Royal Rumble by hoping and, oh, I know this is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. And then you're let down. So I'm trying not to do that. It's really hard because there's so many people I would love to just randomly show up in the Rumble. But it's just, yeah, they've only announced six of the women. So there's 24 women that are not announced. So that is just like every time it goes, you're like, what music is gonna be like? It's half of them would be from the show, and you go, oh, it's the wrestler from SmackDown. But they love to have legends come out. They love to have the people that are new that they didn't tell you they signed the deal. God, I shouldn't even be saying that because there's. Oh no, I shouldn't say it. I'm trying to keep downplayed on who I
Maybe
think
that's where
it is.
Camila's gonna come out.
Well, I'm wondering about that. I'm not sure if she's ready. Because I don't know how long she's been at the Performance Center. I don't know exactly the details. I would love it if Camille came out. But isn't Okada, isn't his deal up? Isn't that the big deal? That's the big thing, is that he's a free agent now from New Japan. And it sounds like he might not go to AEW. So, God, if he came out at WWE on Royal Rumble on Saturday, I'd lose my mind. I'm gonna lose my mind. But, Matt Cardona could come out.
Oh shit,
So
yeah.
many people could come out and say, anyway, I said I wasn't going to do that, and now here I am doing it, so I should
Well,
just
it's because I'm the devil on your shoulder prodding you to do it.
that. Anyway, Royal Rumble, super good time, can't wait for it. The main event is, we got our guy LA Knight is in there. It's a four-way with Roman Reigns, LA Knight, Randy Orton, and AJ Styles, like four future Hall of Famers. LA Knight would be happy that I just said that. Maybe he's not. I don't know if he is. It's been 1 year of success in WWE, but I'm hoping he does. But yeah, that should be. I'm guessing it'll be a Roman Reigns victory because he's going to be champion when I'm 100. So he's never going to lose the belt. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, should be good. Seth Rollins hurt his knee last week. I
Oh,
think,
geez.
and it sounds like it's a real injury, but I think they're working it to worse than it is, just to for a story. So I'm pretty sure he did probably sprain something, but he wouldn't be out there. He's still talking trash and he's not giving up the belt. And I'm like, okay, there's no way if he actually like tore an MCL or something, that he would be allowed to go near a ring. That's
Yeah,
just
it's
not going
not
to happen.
long term. Otherwise, yeah, that'd be a vacant
Yeah,
title.
but they're doing it really well. The story's good. Drew McIntyre is playing this great heel babyface right now. Like, you don't know, he's an angry babyface is his character right now, and it's really working. He's just a big angry babyface. He's just sick and tired of all the bullshit. He's kind of like Stone Cold if Stone Cold was a giant Scot. Like, he's mad at the system. He's mad at being overlooked. He's mad at the pandemic for taking away all the fans when he was champ. He's just mad at everything, but he's not being a heel yet. He's not betraying the fans. He's not, being dirty. So it's he could explode at any point and become a heel, or maybe he, just continues this role. I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's an entertaining story. I like it quite a bit. But yeah, WWE, that's about all. This Royal Rumble kind of takes over everything. Everything that happens funnels to the road to WrestleMania at this time of year. So there's lots of other things going on, but really, this is all anyone's talking about. So
Yeah.
it should be fun. That's coming
And
up. And then, oh yeah.
I was almost gonna be watching the Royal Rumble because
Ooh.
I
What?
well it, unfortunately plans kind of collided and crossed, so it couldn't happen. But being at the Hitman Bar recently, my buddy that I was there with, we were like, we should totally come here for the Royal
Oh,
Rumble.
that'd be sweet.
And we were going to, but I've already committed to going to a hockey game that night with my buddy.
Ah.
So that
No.
isn't going to happen, unfortunately, because that would have been amazing.
Oh, that's too bad. The
Yeah.
next pay-per-view is going to be interesting because the next one is Elimination Chamber, and it's in Australia, and it starts at like 2 in the morning or something. So I'm pretty sure we're not going to be watching that live, which means we'll be waking up, not going on our phones, and going straight to the TV to watch a wrestling pay-per-view, I'm guessing. We'll see what happens. But yeah, we
Watching
won't.
wrestling with a cuppa.
Yeah. There was that part of me that's like, man, if I was 22 and it was like, I remember the Nagano Olympics when
Yep.
Canada was in there, Gretzky and Lemieux, and I was like, fuck it, I'm getting up. And so I went to a friend's house every night at midnight. Game started at whatever, I think it was 1 a.m. And every night for like 2 weeks, we watched hockey at 1 in the morning. And it was great because I was 25 and I had all the energy of a 25-year-old. And now I'm 50 and fuck that shit. That's not happening.
All the
That's
energy and lack of responsibilities of a 25-year-old.
exactly. How do you think I would get up at 7 anymore for a game? I'll be like, is it PVR? Can I just watch it when I get up? It's fine. It's fine.
I'll catch it in the second or third period. We'll see if it's
Exactly.
still a close game.
Yeah. I don't have the energy to be disappointed early in the morning anymore. I just don't have it in me.
I wake up disappointed. I'm 50 already. I don't need to add to that.
You remember the feeling of watching Dominic Hasek stop Wayne Gretzky
Yep.
and we lost and it's over and it's 4 in the morning and you've had 7 beers and you're like, my life sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want that again.
This wasn't worth
I hated that. So yeah.
it.
So yeah, should be fun. Should be fun. They're doing lots of international pay-per-views this year. They have one in France, one in Germany, one
Oh, wow.
in Australia. So hey, you know what? The audiences are there and the people are like rabid for it. So they figured this out. Don't just like, yeah, America's gonna have the audiences. People are Canada, the United States are gonna show up, but so will everybody else. Like to keep it fresh, travel the globe, man. You're supposed to be a traveling business. That's what you do. So
And it grows the brand. Like the
oh
NFL's
yeah.
been doing that now for years, going to London, Germany, Mexico, and they're broadening those horizons. It makes sense, and it brings these performers to those locations where the people probably never thought they'd get to actually see a live event.
Exactly. So that's about all I've got. Before we do our pushes and tap outs, I have a fun little trivia question that I'm going to pop on you that Margot brought up this week. It was in our Facebook memories from quite a while ago, and I thought I'd share it with you. So, who do you think started the oh yeah? Who did it first? Oh yeah, was it Macho Man or was it the Kool-Aid Man?
Ha
This is a Facebook story that a bunch of our friends, we got this hot debate on Facebook about this like 10 years ago. And it showed up in the memories. We're like, oh my God, here's the Macho Man, Kool-Aid Man debate. It
Oh,
was
that's
fucking
funny.
fantastic.
In my heart, I want it to be Macho Man, but in my brain, I want to say Kool-Aid Man.
That many people said that. It was Macho Man. So
Really?
here's what happened. So Technically, as far as being on national television, it would be the Kool-Aid Man in his commercial. But when Macho Man was learning the ropes from his dad in Hawaii, they went to live wrestling shows. And his favorite wrestler when he was a young teen was this Hawaiian wrestler that had the phrase, "Oh yeah," was his expression. And Macho Man would sit in the crowd and start saying it over and over and over. So when he got his first matches on the indie circuit over there, that was his one of his gimmicks, is that he would say, "Oh yeah." So it wasn't a nationally broadcast event, but he was using "Oh yeah" before the Kool-Aid Man. So there you
Really
go.
interesting.
As a cheesy little nugget of information, I'll
Well, I'm glad my heart was right.
let's see if I can find a worthless nugget of information for the end of every podcast now. That'll be a new
Isn't that just
segment.
what we talk about for the whole
Shh,
podcast? This
just
is worthless.
quiet. Don't let on. Don't
I mean, nothing.
let on. So pushes this week. I got to give my first one to my girl Jordynne Grace from TNA.
Oh,
She is
yeah.
like, talk about brick houses. Like, I know that's Camille's line, but Jesus, Jordynne Grace can she fights men on a regular basis, and she can go toe to toe with them because she's a beast, and
She's a tank.
she's a tank. She's a good wrestler. She's good at everything. So, and now she's got the belt again, which is great.
Yeah.
I think she's gonna be a great lead for the women's division over there. Fantastic. So I'm super happy for her. I'm also gonna give a push to Blair Davenport from NXT. She was in NXT UK. I love her attitude. She's like a Kenzie, like a goth Kenzie Page, very similar, and just wicked British attitude. She great look, great in the ring. I like everything about what she's doing. I don't know if she's gonna get a fair shake because it's a very competitive women's division on NXT, and to get up to the main roster again, a very competitive women's division there. There's a lot of women. So, but if she can find the right match, get noticed by people, I think she's got a special career ahead of her. So, and then Nathan Fraser, he's also a, I'm gonna be. You can tell I watch NXT as I'm promoting NXT people. I've talked about him before. He's the quickest wrestler I've ever watched. To go from ground to feet to rope to air to he just it's like he's on moving on fast forward. It blows my mind every time I see him. I hope he doesn't someday like tear a knee or something, and that shows that he's human, because right now I don't believe that he's human. It seems like he's got to be a robot. The way he moves, I've never seen anyone that can hit the ground and then be up and into another move as fast as he does. It's just incredible. So he's tiny. Well, not tiny. He's compared to big WWE people. He's not a big wrestler, but I hope they can find a place for him on the main roster, because he'll be one of those people that can get in there with Logan Paul, and people will be going ooh ah oh and talking about the five big spots from whatever match they had. He'd be one of those Instagram stars. He's got all the tools. So yeah, those are my pushes for the week. What do you got, Paul?
Well, I'm going to start with the corporate part of this. TNA is back, and I
TNA
am
is
here
back.
for it. I mean, like I said, I watched a little bit of it before, and I liked what I was seeing. But I mean, at that point, I was trying to watch a little bit more New Japan, had NWA in the mix. There was just a lot going on, and I liked it, but just didn't keep up with it. I think I'm actually going to keep up with it now. AEW Women's Division, them bumping out more talent, getting more competitive, more interesting characters. I'm here for that too, because that's something that we've talked about a couple times here of they've got a core good group of performers, but they need more to make it feel more competitive. And as far as performers, two that you've talked about recently, Will Ospreay, he was in the main event for last week's Impact. He had a great
Oh,
performance, great match with Josh Alexander, and yeah, brought the house down. They were great. And then another one that you were talking about, Speedball Mike Bailey. I knew you
yeah.
talked about him in high regard, and I was curious to see him. He showed out really well at the pay-per-view, and he showed out really well on this episode of Impact. Both were group matches, so I'm really curious to see him more in a one-on-one situation, because he's lightning quick. He's got some innovative offense, and they kept talking about these matches. They were talking match of the years with Will Ospreay and Speedball Mike Bailey. So
Dude, it's awesome. It's
I've
on.
got to
It's
check them out.
on DAZN. You can watch that match. That's where I watched it during football season. It's on there. So.
I think I have to see those, because yeah, both. I mean, Will Ospreay is not a surprise to anybody who watches wrestling as far as
Yeah.
his credibility and his skill level. But yeah, Speedball Mike Bailey, yeah. Really, really impressive.
Nice. Awesome.
Who's your tap outs?
My only tap out this week is going to be sort of like you were doing with the concepts or going corporate. I'm going to tap out on fans not letting these stories end before they get upset with the finishes. It's driving me a little crazy with Cody Rhodes. He's got an interesting story going right now, and the fans online just keep going after WWE for not letting him finish. And oh, if The Rock is in WrestleMania, this is bullshit. I'm not watching WrestleMania. And just what? Imagine if you watched like episode two of a show, and then start complaining about the season finale that is 10 episodes away. Why would you do that? Like you're watching the show, so you should watch each episode and home and try to figure out what's going on, and but let it actually happen. Like watch the story, because there's all these wrestling stories are just like TV shows. It's the same idea of following it week by week. They're gonna build it. They know what they're doing. They're not randomly. People like to write like they're randomly doing stuff and just changing it every week. They're just ripping up the plans. Now we're LA Knight. You're no longer a contender. No, that's they know what they're doing. The plan is from WrestleMania to WrestleMania. That's how WWE does their shit. So they might have the odd bob and weave during the season when the fan reaction, like LA Knight, makes someone into a star. They still know where they're going. They still know the end result. Just let it happen. Cody's going to win the title at some point. Don't you want to be surprised when it happened? Wouldn't it be fun if you didn't see it coming and he won the title and you go, wow, not, well, of course he'll win it at Mania. And if he doesn't, that's bullshit. No, that doesn't sound like any fun. Like, why are you even watching this? I don't get it. So I'm just tapping out on not letting the stories finish before you start complaining about them. Just sit back and enjoy them. Have a good time. Wrestling is super fun when you actually like just enjoy it.
Fans of things complaining about things before
I
they've actually watched
know.
them, like watching a trailer and complaining about characters being in it,
Right?
like you've seen the whole fucking show when you've seen 30 seconds. How about let the story play out, and then if it doesn't go the way you want it, maybe be upset or just move on. I don't know.
Exactly. So anyway, that's it. That's my one ranty tab out for the week. What do you got?
I'm gonna keep it corporate with mine too. My one and only tap out is NWA kind of kicking us loyal fans to the curb. Like,
Yeah.
I still can't believe that and maybe it'll play out differently. Like we just talked about, like let the story play out, but it seems like right now we're not gonna really have access to this brand that we've been loyally supporting for years and just kind of getting kicked to the curb, and it feels not great, and it kind of really it doesn't make me want to be loyal to them, but I want to be loyal to the performers that I like there. So yeah, that's my only tap out, is basically the NWA tapping out on us as fans.
You know what? I'm tapping out there with you, but I am right there with you. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it
Thumbs
sucks.
down to the NWA right now. Thumbs
Thumbs
down.
up, middle fingers up, Billy.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app, as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at Murder Gymnastics Pod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling!
Yeah!